This episode of The Line is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
Hello and welcome to the season finale of Tracks on the Line, the show on Trek.fm where we provide audio commentary for every episode of Star Trek Picard. I'm Mike.
And I'm Max.
And today we're going to be taking a look at Star Trek Picard Season 1, Episode 10, Et in Arcadia Ego. I'm guessing I pronounced that wrong, but I decided to pronounce it like I would have pronounced it when I was 12.
Okay.
This is it. It all comes down to this. But before it comes down to this, I just want to point out that we're recording this the day after our 10th anniversary as podcasters.
Yeah.
Technically not, but it's the 10th anniversary since we released our first podcast of our own on Commentary Track Stars. Yeah. We released a commentary for Die Hard 2, and look at how far we've come.
I don't remember anything I said in it, but I stand by all of it.
The biggest thing to note is when you went on a rant about how nobody cares about what happened between any particular episodes of Star Wars.
Yeah, stand by it.
Whatever. It's been a fun time. It's been a long time. You know, a lot of stuff. We recorded a whole episode commemorating it, commentary on Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out really terrible. But the one thing that I think we've learned over the years is that we don't have to release something just because we record it. We can use our better judgment and say, this is bad. We are better for not releasing it, and so is the world.
Disagree. I think that it's about the suffering and capturing it and making that the entertainment.
But it's not entertaining.
Doesn't matter.
So instead, this will be our anniversary celebration, because, boy, 10 years ago, would you have believed that we would be watching the finale of a show called Star Trek Picard, starring Patrick Stewart?
If you told me, I could see in 10 years, like, the streaming platform thing taking off and there being a market for a Picard-centric series where Patrick Stewart returns to the role. I would have said just 3 years ago that we couldn't have that kind of great thing. But now, in 2010, yes, we can.
Well, at least that's something, right? I was thinking about this just a few weeks ago. It's like, boy, 10 years ago, would I have believed that? Probably not. But I have believed that we would have just seen Star Wars Episode 9. Probably not. But then, you know, like a week ago, I was like, would I have believed that we would be in quarantine because of a pandemic which is sweeping across the world?
You weren't in quarantine a week ago?
No, I was. Well, yeah, I guess technically, because I counted from like the last day that I went to work, right? Mm-hmm. Which would have been last Tuesday. So technically this is day 9 for me.
Wow, this is like day 17 or something?
Oh, I thought you were going to say like 469.
No.
Well, here we are, stuck at home, but we have Captain Picard to keep us company. So I guess that's something. Mm-hmm. And also, we've got, you know, some decent reading material because today over on the StarTrek.com, there was an article written by Trek FM's own Duncan Barrett about middle-aged men who grew up with Picard who are now experiencing Star Trek Picard through a particular emotional lens. And one of the people who was interviewed for that article, in addition to good old Brandon Shea Matala.
We call him BS.
Yeah, BS, is you.
Yep.
So that was pretty cool. I read the article today and I was like, oh, he sounds intelligent here. That's interesting.
Yep. I tried to not sound overly researched or particularly thoughtful. I try to remain emotional and passionate for commentaries because I think that's a lot more fun.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, check that out over on StarTrek.com. And also, I want to give a shout out to Hardicle on Twitter, who discovered through some research that the shoes which Picard wears are Prada. And after going through Prada's catalog, I discovered that they are the Prada Cloudbust sneakers. And and do you want to guess how much these shoes cost?
$3,200.
That's a little high.
It is?
A little bit.
$1,250.
It's a little high.
$700.
$749, although I have seen them on clearance for like $385.
That seems like nothing. I watched that that Jeff Goldblum show about sneakers. People pay a lot more than that.
There was he did an episode about sneakers?
Yeah, you don't watch the Jeff Goldblum show?
I haven't gotten around to it yet, but I will, especially if there's an episode about sneakers. But I have spent a lot of money on sneakers, but these are three times as much as I've spent on my most expensive pair of sneakers. And
okay.
I've been looking for these, and they were either going to be Prada, you know, which was like $750, or they were going to be some sort of crazy, weird off-brand that you could only find at Shoe Carnival. That would be like $30. It was going to be one or the other, you know, like the Battlestar Galactica fighter pilot shoes. Those were bootleg ripoffs of a pair of Nikes. They weren't even the Nikes. They were a bootleg ripoff of the Nikes. So that's what I was hoping for, but no, they were the $750 Pradas. And you know, there's no reason why. I mean, you're literally at that point paying for the name, right? You're literally just paying for the name Prada. Why?
I stopped listening to everything you were saying after you said
Shoe Carnival.
Okay.
Shoe Carnival, which is a... That's like the, you know, in like the Harlem and Cermak Plaza, like if you go into like the corner by that old like Coconuts, it's where you go to buy shoes for $5.
Do they have clowns?
They will oftentimes have people like making balloon animals or whatever, because I mean that's what they do. They literally have one of those like spinny
boards. Do they have
boards.
Rigged games?
No, they have one of those spinny boards in the middle of the store, and you can spin the thing and win like a prize, like, oh, $5 off your next purchase, or, you know, 25% off, you know, whatever. I mean, that, yes. All right. Should we start up this episode? We're starting. I mean, we've been doing this. This is the 10th time we've done this. I think you guys know where to start, right?
Yep. You start right before the logo shows up. Reddit countdown.
Right after the logo
Three,
shows up. Don't confuse people.
2, 1, start.
Wow, look at you taking control. Okay, so here's the previous Leon. Get to see David Paymer again.
Wait,
it's always a good thing.
Wait. What? Previously on?
Previously on Star Trek Picard?
Uh-oh. We're already out of sync.
Well, what happened?
I got a preview.
For what?
Star Trek Discovery Season 3.
I didn't get that. Was this the little thing where she's like holding the flag?
It's literally just her holding a flag.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop mine after the previously on ends, and then I'll start that up when you tell me that your previously on ends.
Okay.
So you're going to have to give me a heads up on that. Okay. But yeah, no, see, because I'm watching the Dolby Vision version, so, you know, I don't get previews. I did see that, but whatever. I kind of like living in a world without previews. So when are we going to see Discovery? Is it going to be June?
I'm still saying June. Have a date.
Nope. That's why I canceled my CBS All Access. Sorry, CBS All Access, but I got to make room for Fubo TV or whatever it's called. So yeah,
Fubo.
It's like a live television thing, but they've got NBC Sports Chicago, so I can watch reruns of White Sox games from 2005. It's the little things, you know? Mm-hmm. So we got this controversial Vulcan mind meld thing going on here, and people are like...
Controversial?
Yeah, because it's like, they're like, how can an android mind meld with a person? And then, you know, other people are like, well, Spock mind melded with Nomad, to which my response is, that was dumb too. But whatever. I'm not going to get all worked up about it. There's other things to get worked up about.
Whatever okay, a mind just meld ended. Requires, it has to be something that exists in the world, in physical space, with matter. So there's no reason why a synthetic person
don't would forget be to tell me when you're thinking.
What did you say?
I said, don't forget to tell me when your thing ends. Okay. So there's a Borg cube, right?
Yep.
With an effect that doesn't work. You see the dude running across the landscape, but it's like the frame rate's all messed up. And I heard that like they were working on the CGI up until the very last minute with this one. But that looks bad. Okay, so this Borg cube, I guess it's big. I guess it's big enough where you can have people hiding in it, right? Why not?
Well, I mean, to me, it like based on like my relative sense of like perspective based on CGI spaceships and people, it seems like it's roughly the size of a city.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. It just doesn't seem like it because you're like, it's a spaceship.
Right, but it's a spaceship that you could like fit a dozen Enterprises in if it was hollowed out.
No, you're right. I mean, I never think of it that way, but you're right. It probably is like the size of a city.
So I imagine that there's... Even with, you know, drones searching the place. But, like, him being able to sneak in? I mean, what kind of security is this place got? I mean, there's nobody on the doors? Come on, well, these guys were Borg.
How many doors do you have? I mean, it's like the perimeter of a city, right?
Sure, but most of it's in the water.
I guess, yeah.
Their weird relationship. Like, she knew it was him when she came up behind him with the knife. Like, she was just doing that flirtatiously, right?
I don't know if it was flirt. I mean, they seem to tone down the flirtation in this episode, but it is weird. It's like, let me put this knife to your neck. Just in case.
She's creepy.
There's Picard with a butterfly.
It's a mood moth.
Is that what they're called?
No. It's just it changes color when it lands on him. So I was like, oh, it's like a mood moth.
Yeah. Right also, now he's feeling happy because he's wearing some $750 Prada gym shoes.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? Prada gym makes some good shoes. Mm-hmm. Butterflies are gross. I'll just say it. I think that people's affection for them is based on them being colorful. You get up close to them, they are monsters. Butterflies are gross.
They do freak me out because they're bugs, right?
Yes.
I mean, you can look at them from afar and be like, that's pretty. But like, if one flies near me, I'm like, what the hell? Get away from me.
Yeah, somebody sent me like a GIF of a butterfly sitting on a dog's nose. And I was like, gross.
Yeah.
I hope that dog ate it.
That would be gross too, though.
Still.
Okay. I don't think that butterflies deserve to be eaten, you know, but...
Well, they are monsters.
Okay. So they're building a beacon thing to talk to their people. My wife pointed this out, but like the crack in the sky, right? That, I mean, we hear about that in the story of Romulan hell and stuff in this episode, right? The sky would crack open and, you know, yep. So that's kind of a cool little thing. See, okay, as much as I was complaining about Marina Sirtis not being in the opening credits in Nepenthe, having Jonathan Frakes in the opening credits here was kind of a bummer. Not that he didn't deserve it, but because I was like, I didn't know that he was going to be in this. And then the whole time that I'm watching it, I kept on thinking, when's he going to show up? How's he going to show up? How's this going to happen? You know? Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of a bummer. But, you know, credit where it's due, I guess.
Yeah, when I saw his name, I was like, oh, I guess they're going to have a little wrap-up thing.
Yeah, I thought that too.
Most likely. And then, like, the clock started getting close, and I was like, I don't think they're going to have a little wrap-up. And then, like, Starfleet ship showed up, and I'm like, oh, there we go. Yeah. There he is.
There. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like the credits, you know what I'm saying? I see Jonathan Frakes and I'm like, oh my god, I didn't know he was going to be in this. And my wife's like, so is Marina Sirtis in it too? And I'm like, who knows, because she wouldn't be in the opening credits. Oh, while you're making my directed by Akiva Goldsman shirt, you might as well make a written by Michael Chabon shirt for me too, if you're cool with that. I just need the transparency, just a gold that in that font, just give it to me. All right, so he's going to go.
I got other design things going on.
Kill
man.
Some flowers.
I'm trying to map out the Red Angel suit, man. There's no schematic or blueprint for that thing.
Here's a weird thing, right? Like, throughout the history of Star Trek,
yes,
I've been like, they really nail the ears. Like Vulcan and Romulan ears, like they get them right. They never look fake. You mm-hmm. know, I buy them every time I see them to varying degrees, but that's something that they do really well. Her ear here looks the fakest I've ever seen an ear look in my life.
This is the fakest looking ear you've ever seen?
Fakest ear I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
What happened? I think maybe they just didn't like powder it or something. It looks very plasticky.
You know, you've seen cartoon ears.
They don't look as unfake as this. As what? Fake as this. They don't look as fake as this. Unrealistic. So Elnor, he was heading off to the android land.
Yeah, sure was. Guess what he didn't see while he was there?
A freaking cat. Didn't zero see a stars. Freaking cat. This season is BS. But hey.
Oh, you mean so it's
Brandon Shea.
It's yes. Brandon?
No, but hey, why can't we have a short trek? Short trek.
Elnor sees a cat?
Elnor in spot 2. I would watch that. You could do that. There was another short
It could be a really, really, really short trek. It could be a short, short trek. It could be Elnor like running through Coppelius, and he just like sees Spot 2 through a window, and he's like, oh, sweet. And that just keeps going.
No, I want like an extended montage of him and Spot 2 playing with each other, you know, running through fields. He gets clawed by Spot 2, you know, just, you know, whatever.
Like, a little playful, like clawing, biting kind of thing.
Yeah. Spot 2 coughs up a hairball, you know. I that's what I want to see. That's all I want to see.
All right.
I was having a spirited debate online with one of the other hosts from the network about Michael Chabon's idea of a Picard show where it's just him and Number One running around France solving low-stakes mysteries.
Yeah, that's like the show that I like I said, if that's the show, I'm 100% on board.
I know, right?
That sounds amazing.
And this is what I was saying. I'm like, prequel, you know, you could do it. Star Trek, Picard, and Number One.
No.
Why not?
I'd watch it. Prequels.
Whatever.
Why does it have to be a prequel? Why can't it just be what he does?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I it seems like now they've moved on or whatever, but, you know, it just seems like it would be easier to do it as a prequel, and you could easily fit that in there, but... Yeah, yeah, I would watch that. I'd watch it twice.
I would love it. I would love it. I would. I mean, there's like I've never been particularly interested in the subject, but if Picard is doing it, I will watch a show that is primarily Vineyard Admin.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be into it.
And the whole debate came, you know, where you know he was saying like, well, that's not Star Trek. And I'm like, if you have Picard in a show, it's Star Trek. You know, you don't have to be in space. You don't have to do anything. You know, I mean, it would inform the greater universe. So why not do it?
Who cares?
That's what I'm saying, right?
Who cares if it's Star Trek or not? If you're in the Star Trek universe, it's Star Trek. If you're not in the Star Trek universe, it can still be Star Trek.
That's what I'm thinking. But whatever. All right. So now they're going to join forces.
Yeah. Okay. So here's a fun fact. This is the first time that I am recording one of these having only watched the episode once.
Wow. What happened?
Nothing. I just have to watch a lot of episodes leading up to it and also work day. And, other random stuff.
Yeah, no, I guess, yeah, I always watch them twice before recording, you know? Once just to watch it, and then once again to get all the little details down. But, yeah.
So now I'm like, is it Gamadon? Because, like, he says it in a weird accent.
I think it's Gamadon.
Gamadon?
I think so.
It's weird. But it's like their like apocalypse myth.
Yeah.
And it certainly seems like he believes that it is related to the admonition.
Yeah.
And we don't have a clear indication of like the you know, the chicken and the egg on this guy. But, like, well, if the admonition came first or if the myth came first?
I mean, like, he says, you know, they said something like, do you, so you think this is this is like a premonition or whatever. And he's like, no.
Prophecy.
Yeah. He's like, no, I think it's history, mm-hmm. but history always repeats itself, right?
Yeah.
So here we go again with the eyeballs.
Sometimes you got to use an eye to get through a security door.
I guess so. Just like in Six Underground.
Haven't seen it.
Watch it. It's awesome.
Oh, got plenty of other stuff to watch, man.
None of it's as good as Six Underground.
So far, I'm gonna guess that almost all of it is.
Okay. We shall see. It's kind of weird that they're just chilling in front of a fire. They're like,
when I saw them sitting by the fire, I was like, oh, is he going to tell a freaking campfire story? And then he does. Mm-hmm. He tells a scary story around a campfire.
Yeah.
And then the shades start coming down on the ship. And I'm like, why were they outside?
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense. Did they go outside? Because he was like, we should probably sit around a campfire because I have to tell you a scary story.
I think they were just chilling. You know, I mean, today I was on a Zoom call and one of the people on the call was sitting on her porch outside with like the birds chirping and stuff. I guess just because you can.
What?
Some people like it. I mean, I don't understand going outside.
There are holodecks on this ship.
Are there? Oh, yeah, there are. Yeah, because they're always going back to the thing. Yeah, you're right. But sometimes I guess you just want to, you know, build a fire and sit on the ground.
You could do that in the holographic generated fireplace and holographically generated forest. Who cares?
Yeah.
What's wrong with these people?
I don't get it myself. Some people just like nature. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to experience the desert rocks. Maybe get bit by a weird lizard.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and there's the thunderstorms too. It's cool. Okay, I have a problem with this shot because the lens is quote unquote dirty, and that's something that you see happen very frequently with like visual effects shots, I think, in order to give them like gritty realism.
What are you talking about?
Well, like in that last shot of the other scene, you know, the last shot of the campfire scene, which was clearly a visual effects shot, you could see specks of dirt on the lens, right?
I didn't see them.
And they were clearly CGI specks of dirt because, I mean, like Dan Mendel, the cinematographer for Star Trek Into Darkness, said, like, my team doesn't allow specks of dirt on a lens. All of the specks of dirt you see are added digitally. And it's like, okay, I understand the gritty realism thing if you're going for that. But the fact of the matter is there isn't a single other shot in this scene, this episode, let alone this scene, that has dirt on the lens. So why, in this reality where you're trying to make visual effects, which are, you know, are representing reality, why did you just suddenly forget to clean the lens for this one shot? Doesn't make any sense. It's weird.
Yep. Shark jumped.
Yep.
So this bringing the bomb, the grenade, into Coppelius or Synthville or Arcadia, the weird Ocean's 11-y kind of back and forth, here's the plan, this is how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need to do that. It's real simple. It's like, we got to sneak it through. Put it in a soccer ball.
Yeah.
But a fancy kind that opens up. I'll make a soccer ball that opens up. It's so weird. It seems like there must have been an easier way to do that. So at what point did you figure out that there was no way around this being eventually Picard's body?
Well, I mean,
because it wasn't when he woke up, obviously. You figured it out before then. When was it?
When he woke up just now?
No, when he wakes up in the body. It wasn't
Yeah. No, it was when he died. You know, I'm like, I thought that he was, you know what kept on running through my mind during his death scene was the death scene in Deadpool 2, you know, where, have you seen Deadpool 2?
I've seen Deadpool 2. I mean, I've seen a version of Deadpool 2 twice.
You saw Once Upon a Deadpool?
I saw the original version and the Princess Bride-y one.
Yeah. But yeah, so that death scene in Deadpool 2, that's what I kept on thinking, because I'm like, obviously he's not dead, right? But I mean, like, that was certainly a thought which was running through my head, like, as soon as she hyposprayed him, you know, I'm like, are they really going to do that? Because that seems like not the best idea in the world. And, you know, it was like one of those things where I'm like, I mean, again, You should always try to be open to what they're doing instead of what you want them to do, I guess, right? But the fact of the matter is, like, they say this show is going to last 3 years.
Who says that?
Well, Patrick Stewart has said that the plan is for three seasons. Okay. So they say it's going to last for 3 years.
But I don't think he said that the plan is for it to last three seasons and then not make any more.
All he said was something like the current plan is for this to be three seasons.
Right.
But which makes me think that it will be. But like when you're setting up the whole like, oh, Picard has an illness which is going to kill him, mm-hmm. you think that that's going to happen. But I really did, as we've talked about multiple times, I thought that it was going to be a Battlestar Galactica scenario. And I think that that would have been the thing to do. And I mean, surely, you know, they set this up knowing what they were going to do. It's not like they wrote themselves into a corner and then this was their magic way out of it. I mean, they went into this knowing that this was how it was going to end. So I'm trying to look at it through that perspective, through the perspective of like, what does this say to have Picard die and come back as an android? And I don't exactly know what that means yet, but I have to say that when they did it, I was surprised and disappointed. But I think it could go some interesting places from here, even though it does feel very sort of like, you know, old school Trek, you know, like Worf breaks his spine, grows a new one, and never mentions it again for the rest of his life. Or bringing it back to the Changeling, Uhura has her mind erased and trains herself to get it all back by next week.
Or the ultimate. Oh, it turns out Vulcan's got double eyelids.
I don't really see that as being the ultimate, to be honest. Like, that one is just, because that one's like, oh, it's no big deal. You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, I just had this life-changing experience and I'll never mention it again.
I mean, the ultimate is Changeling.
No, I'm totally okay with the double eyelids thing. Changeling is the ultimate in stupidity in terms of that thing. To me.
Okay.
But so they had to have done it for a reason. What is that reason? I don't know. I guess I'll find out in season two.
I'll tell you, I had a whole arc with this guy. I mean, I was like, all right. So, all right. Here's where I figured out that that was going to be Picard's body.
Yeah.
When we saw the body again, I was like, uh-oh. Well, we're too late in the episode for that to be Hugh. It would have come up.
Yeah.
It suddenly becoming Soong's That's obviously the plan. But Girardi's there. I don't see that happening. That would be really weird. It's got to be Picard. There's no way around it. Like, it's going there. Like, the pieces are lining up for it. And I mean, was like, that's where we're going. Oh, man.
When you think back on it, like, it makes total sense. Like, from a storytelling perspective, like, you don't introduce this device and then say, like, oh, it's going to go to this guy or whatever. It's going to go to Picard. You say, like, here's a thing which allows you to transfer the memories of a dying person into a new body. And here's a dying person.
This isn't Chekhov's phaser, all right? This happened, like, this isn't like in, like, episode two. It was like, oh, yeah, we were working on mind transfer where, like, you transfer minds into an android body. We never figured it out, but we were close. It wasn't that. It was last week in like, dramatic arc purposes. That's like saying, like, oh yeah, the guy ran into the bank with a gun. Obviously he was gonna shoot someone. Yeah, it just happened.
It's
him running into the bank and he shoots, like, the one person who would be the perfect choice to shoot with the gun. It's a little convenient. I mean, like, it's unfortunate that, like, the first thing we thought of was, oh, man, they're going to put Picard in that body. And then we're like, no, that's a stupid idea. They're not going to do that.
It's like, just why would you go through all the motions just to do that? I don't understand. But I'll tell maybe you, we will.
So I went through that arc. I got to that point. I was like, I first thought Picard. And then I was like, no. That's stupid. It should be Hugh. Because Hugh deserves a second chance.
Yeah.
And Picard is living out his second chance. And I'm like, all right, let's do this. All right, I'm on board for this. I hope it's Hugh. And then it was like, oh, it's obviously Picard. That's dumb. And then I was like, why do this?
Right.
Why go through all the motions of, like, getting this point? And then I was like, you know, this is like Discovery season two. And I was like, this is kind of like is this like a particular flavor of Kurtz Mania where, like, you like write the craziest thing imaginable and then just say, yeah, we're going to deal with it next season. And you didn't see that coming, did you? And, like, I didn't see Picard as a synth like 2 weeks ago. Last week I was like, it's an outside chance. This week I'm like, Picard's just a straight up synth now. And before then, like, that wasn't on the table. That's crazy. Picard is dead. Picard died.
It's like, I'm sure this happened to O'Brien at some point in Deep Space Nine. I can't tell you exactly when. It probably happened to Harry Kim as well. But the idea of, like,
it happened to Harry Kim so many times.
The idea that, like, you know, you die and you're replaced with someone. So to the outside world, it's like, and to the person who we're seeing, it's business as usual. But the fact of the matter is, this guy who we're seeing right now is straight up dead. Right.
Yeah, I mean,
he doesn't know what's going on. Like, his brain was scanned after he died. It's not like it's the same person. From his perspective,
but 100% his body exists somewhere.
Uh-huh.
They dealt with his body.
Right. I just want to say we missed it, but when Seven of Nine kicked the Romulan woman off of the thing.
Yeah.
She should have said, I haven't had enough of Hugh. And then kicked her off. That would have been better.
All right. Now I've got to find the bottomless pit and kick that memory into it.
Anything I can do to help.
Okay.
So Picard's flying a ship. This is cool.
O has gone, like, full cartoon supervillain.
Yeah, at one point she says, at last. Yes. She actually says at last.
Yes. And at one point she's like, oh, let's annihilate all life on this planet. In type 5, all life annihilation.
Everyone's
what? 4 is a little boring for me today. I'm gonna go 5 just to change it up.
At one point they're like, everyone's living in like a little village, and she's like, just kill everything on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes you just gotta wipe out all life on a planet in order to make sure that a couple dozen synths are dead.
Yeah,
I mean, it's bananas. She's totally crazy. Oh, which I guess is the thing. I mean, she is like ostensibly a cult leader, so all right. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what happens. Like, they're charming until they're like, yeah, we're gonna get into a shootout with the FBI. You know, that's just how it goes. Okay, so synth squid aliens. That's cool, right?
Yeah, I got a real strong Matrix vibe from that, right?
Yeah, the thing that I find strange about this is like the synths are like, all right, let's summon these super tough synths that'll clean up the organics for us. But like, you don't know that they're gonna be cool.
Yeah,
like how that was centuries and centuries ago. Like, if, like, they might be, like, real jerks about it. Like, they might be like, you guys are way too organic for us.
I mean, I don't think they're thinking logically about this. Speaking about illogical.
Well, if you're going to wipe out everyone, I mean, you got to at least think through, like, who you're going to be left with. I mean, what if they're weird tentacle monster robots?
Okay, so here's Riker. Here's the thing. Like, I listened to that podcast where Akiva Goldsman was talking about Nepenthe and how, like, you know, they have, like, what they call their Gorn litmus test or whatever it is, where it's like, you know, is the Gorn the best choice? You know, and if it's not, then you do something else. And, you know, with Nepenthe, they were like, is Riker and Troy the best choice? And the answer was yes, and that's why they did it. And otherwise, if you do that, then you feel like fan service, right? If it's not justified. And Nepenthe totally worked. Best episode of the series, if you ask me. Which, you know, if you would have told me the best episode of the series is the one where he goes and talks to Riker and Troy, I would have been like, I can't wait to see that. But at the same time, that's going to be just a ton of fan service. And it wasn't. This,
I think you're crazy, but I mean, like, whatever, the second episode's pretty great.
Okay, this here, this is total fan service. Everybody was thinking that it was going to be Worf, right? I mean, there were polls on Twitter asking people whether or not you think you're going to see Worf commanding the Enterprise at the end of this thing. And that, even though it seems like it's fan service, would have made more sense and would have been much more effective than Riker on a random ship coming out of retirement. No, that doesn't, I mean, yes, would he want to do that? Yes. Would Starfleet be like, yeah, no, you know, they would send someone else. They wouldn't, they'd be like, no, that's okay, Riker, we don't need you to command this ship when we have 200 other ships going there. We can just find a 200th captain, you know? I mean, you know, hey, it's great to see, you know, him in that very obvious Discovery set.
The thing is, he probably shot
in Toronto when he was filming an episode of Discovery. I'm just guessing, but I bet you.
Hold on, but Riker knew where they were going. Riker was like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to, he didn't show up to Deep Space 12. I know where they are. Let's go there.
Would he have known where they were?
Yeah. His daughter found the place.
Oh yeah, you're right. But then he would just say like, they're here.
Why would he say that? Wouldn't he say, you know what? I gotta be there for this. Guys, come on. Do me a solid. Let me lead the charge. Like, this is going to be rad. We're going to face off against hundreds of Romulan ships to save a few synths on a planet. And Captain Picard, this is going to be so cool.
Okay. I mean, like I said, I could totally see him wanting to do it. I can't see Starfleet being like, yeah, this makes sense. You know?
I can see Starfleet saying, all right, you want to lead the charge? Go ahead and lead the charge. I mean, someone's going to lead the charge. It might as well be you. It doesn't really matter to us who does it.
So a lot of people are disappointed by the fact that all of the Federation ships look exactly the same. And I get that because historically speaking, it's always been a bunch of weird, different looking ships. But
also historically, there's always been a whole bunch of weird, different looking ships on a bunch of ships that we've seen before, especially from different eras.
Right. And again, you know, I mean, we heard that like they were working on the effects up to the very last minute. So, you know, creating all those models or whatever could be whatever. But and I mean, to be fair, also anytime that we see like we're not like looking at all the Romulan ships and being like, they all look exactly the same. You know,
there are like two types of Romulan ships there.
Yeah. There's like the flagship and then there's the rest. But yeah. I mean, I can see. I mean,
well, there's like a bigger one. There's a bigger ship and there's like a littler ship. There are like two types of ships and there's like the mothership. Like there's not a lot of variety in their ships either. So like, but like, yeah, I mean, everyone's clocking the ships and everyone's clocking like how many there are and how varied they are. I just assume that since Starfleet has pulled back significantly from their duties, mm-hmm. that in that process they have actually pulled back from their R&D and they're not doing as much design work and they're not experimenting with new ship designs. They've got a basic model that they're just hammering out in order to do the basic level stuff that they're doing now because Starfleet has in a sense retreated.
Yeah, that could be. All right, so here's Picard. He's not doing well.
Yeah, Soji has so many reversals. It's crazy.
Yeah. She's like Data in that way, right? How many times have we seen evil Data? Good Data, bad Data.
A bunch of times.
She takes after her dad.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of those things where, I mean, the fact that they announced season 2 and 3, well, I guess technically they've only announced 2, but they're working on 2 and 3. You know, prior to this, it's like, okay, I feel no emotion here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, like, you know that Picard is coming back for season 2. But what you don't know is whether or not Patrick Stewart's going to be in it.
No, you know that he's going to be in it. You know that he's going to be in it because, you know, he's on The View asking Whoopi Goldberg to be in it.
That would be a pretty hardcore rad thing to do, say, like, Picard season 2, Patrick Stewart's not in it. Imagine if in, like, season 6 of Picard, he's just, like, not there.
Yeah, I mean, you could call it Star Trek Picard and there is no Picard. I mean, that would be cool. I'd be down with that.
Yeah, they could say that that somebody who isn't related to him just takes up his name.
You could do that.
You could do that. Apparently, that's okay.
My friend Diego, who I host Bayhem, the Michael Bay podcast with, and soon a... another podcast, which may be of interest to people listening to this thing. I can't say what, but whatever. He posted a thing on Twitter where, you know, it's that last scene and the person's like, "What's your name?" And she goes, Ray Snoodles. And now every time I see that movie or whatever, I cannot watch that last scene without thinking about her saying Ray Snoodles. It's the best.
How many times have you seen it?
Actually, never since then, but it still makes me happy to know that every time I will watch that movie, I will not think of her saying Ray Snoodles.
All right.
So it looks like 7 of 9 might be part of the cast next season, right?
That's pretty cool.
I'm down with that.
I guess she's not getting a spinoff.
I'm not down with her not getting a spinoff, but whatever. Next best thing. At least we'll see her on a weekly basis, presumably. I mean, you would think, right? I mean, there's no reason not to. It's not like they're going to be like, "Hey, here's Jerry question, Ryan, though. Do you not want to be on this show full time?"
Here's the question. The question isn't like whether or not she's there. The question isn't spin out. The question is, 7 of 9 is going to be a continuing presence on this show.
Yeah.
Will we see Janeway?
I mean, I wouldn't put anything past him at this point, right?
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people were also thinking, like, not Worf, but it would be Janeway who comes, you know, flying in this last scene. And that would have been cool, too, but...
Like, I'll tell you this, when I assume now they're going to try to get Janeway in the mix. And I've come a long way, but if Janeway shows up, I will be very happy.
Yeah. Okay, here's Data.
I was a little shocked by this. He looks totally normal here.
He looks totally normal, although, like, the angles that they use to shoot him at make him look, like for one thing, like, you can't do close-ups of contacts of those eyes at that angle. They look fake, you know? But also the thing which annoys the crap out of me, because it's Star Trek and because, you know, Gene Roddenberry's vision of the future has been ingrained into my head, but you can see his zipper sticking out of his neck for this entire scene. And it's like, what are you doing? They don't have zippers in the 24th century. That's Haven't dumb. You seen
zippers
Star
are
Trek?
Good.
Yeah, Gene Roddenberry hated zippers, and he had a mandate that there would be no zippers because zippers would not exist in the 24th century because they're clumsy.
To me, that seems like Gene Roddenberry once got something caught in a zipper and was like, you know what? I'm done with these.
Quite possible. Yeah.
So when somebody's got a grudge based on something like that, you got to go, you know, I think deep down he would be good about us moving past this grudge.
Okay.
Because they're zippers. It's not like he was like if he was like, oh, no monuments to Confederate generals. And then they were like, oh, look, we've got a General Lee here. I'd be like, okay, well, that's not right. That's an error. They made a mistake. They should fix that. But this is a zipper. It's different. Get over it. I mean, it's a zipper.
I mean, I've certainly had my fair share of crappy zippers. You know, I get it. But.
Yeah, in the future, it's all buttonfly. I'll be honest, I've had a lot of buttonfly jeans, and I do greatly like them.
No, I can't deal with that. It's too much work. And here it is, this scene, which, you know, everybody online has been talking about being like the most beautiful scene in television history, and we're talking about zippers. That's how we roll.
Yeah, man, get into it. So here's the thing. All right, let's do this.
All right.
Here's my question.
Yes.
Opening scene, first episode. Data's wearing the wrong uniform.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing this uniform.
Uh-huh.
Was that him?
I don't know.
Because that scene opens on a very colorful nebula. It's not the exact same one, but it also opens with Data in this uniform, and he's sitting with Picard, and it's a simulation, an extremely sophisticated quantum simulation. To me, what I'm seeing is that they want us to think that Picard might have been actually connecting to the real Data here.
That could be. I mean, you could take it a step further and say, is everything that we've seen a simulation? No, can't be, because it's not all from Picard's perspective.
No, but I mean, in a sense, the universe is a simulation. I mean, even Spock thinks it's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thought. I'm not quite sure that it tracks, but it's a possibility. Here's a question. Well, I guess not, because we see him die, right? I was going to say, could Data be 6 to Picard's Baltar, but probably not.
Data was reconstructed from B4, who is still around, and a single neuron of his brain. They could rebuild him.
Yeah, but I mean, would they really want to? I mean, the whole thing is,
why not?
He wants to die, so.
So what? They do it all over again, and they'd be like, all right, Data, you're back. And he's like, oh, where's I gone? And they're like, yeah, that was what we made you, and then you wanted to die. And he's like, that makes sense. I would want that eventually. And they're like, but like, not yet, right? And he's like, yeah, no, not yet. And I'm like, all right, cool. All right, we got Data around for like at least 2 or 3 more seasons.
So basically, it would be Bloodshot.
The 1990s Valiant comic?
Or the Vin Diesel movie that came out a couple weeks ago.
Haven't seen it. Probably not gonna. No, is it in movie theaters?
Not anymore. but they did just release it online for sale. So, you know, there you go.
I remember the comic book.
I remember the comic book existing. I never read it. I never knew anything about it, you know.
No, I remember hearing people say in the comic book store, you know, it's a lot better than you'd expect. And I remember thinking, wow, you should write ads.
Yep.
So, Picard is back. He's a synthetic.
Yeah. But he still looks the same. He still has the same powers, and he's still going to die when he would had it not been for this one thing. So he's getting like one do-over. He's like, I don't want to die quite yet. I still want to die when I'm supposed to die, just not that time.
Yeah,
but like, to be fair, he does say, like, you could have given me an extra 10 or 20 years.
You know, if I were in their shoes, I'd been like, you know, we could just tell him he's going to live to a natural lifespan and then just be like, wow, you're still going. You'd think you would have died by now, but you've probably still got 15, 20, let's say 75 years left. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
And they wink to the camera because, you know.
Yeah.
By that point, the show's totally jumped the shark.
Already has.
Elnor still hasn't seen a cat.
Elnor, yep, yeah.
Season 9. Final episode. Elnor sees a cat.
You think that's how it's going to be? You think that there's going to be that outcry? I mean, they've certainly done that with other things. I mean, what did they do? They did something with that just recently. Where they had some sort of weird fan servicey thing, and in some movie there was like an extra scene that didn't belong there, where, you know, this thing that everyone had always talked about actually happens. Oh God, what was it? This is going to drive me crazy.
I don't know. Han being alive?
No. That's a different thing. That's a different thing entirely. That's an amazing thing. No.
Is it?
It was something where it was like a little moment like that where it's like, oh, and it like feels completely forced and everything, but it's like, hey,
that happened. There was a thing that had that effect on some people, but not all people. And some people were tracking it and many people weren't. And you don't remember what it was?
It was one of those things. One of those things where it's like, okay, you know, this is something which is I can't remember what it is.
Okay. Good story though.
Yeah. I'll think about it. I'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Data's death is a bummer.
Yeah.
I do like that he actually gets like a proper death.
Yeah.
And now if you want to say like, oh, what Star Trek thing did Data die? You can say, oh, the final episode of the first season of Star Trek Picard.
You know, I didn't have a problem with his death in Nemesis. I mean, I thought that was one of the things that worked about that movie. I don't dislike Nemesis.
You should.
I just think it's not tremendously good. So this cover of Blue Skies is sung by Issa Briones.
Yep. And it bookends the series.
It does.
Almost like the dream.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Kind of implying in multiple ways
mm-hmm.
that was really him. All right, so this feels fan servicey to me because we all want this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, yeah.
There's
Raffi and Seven, that would be a great couple. They're so cool.
Yeah.
Man, as a couple, they'd be so awesome.
Right. And there's a lot of people who are like, wait, what? Like, have they even ever talked? And to me, I mean, I guess I you can kind of see that, but at the same time, I wasn't seeing that as being like, oh, they're a couple. That was like, oh, you know, hey, kind of, you know, hey. It wasn't like, you know, confirming
their relationship. It seemed like early flirtation.
Right. And yeah.
And like, I get it. I mean, like, either one of them I could see going like, she is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
No, I mean, I think it's a cool thing that they're trying to do. So here we are. This is the end.
Yeah, it's hard.
Engage. It's hard to deal with. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. What do you think about the finale and how it fits into the overall season? What are your thoughts?
Well, the overarching thing of like distrust and paranoia and fear, like the idea that Starfleet is not what it once was, that the synth ban is this unfair law that was put in practice out of panic. All of it does sort of come to a head in this episode thematically. Like, I think that the bulk of the episode works very well. There are these other little, like, haphazard plot thread bow tying effects that are kind of awkward. You know, the Picard resurrection, the various character reversals, Soji is pushed into this thing where, like, at the end, she's like, I've got to make a decision. And I think at this point in the show, like, I'm still like, are all of her memories back? Like, is she aware fully? Like, when did she become 100% aware of her past? Like, it seemed to kind of happen off screen. Like, she remembered enough to reintegrate into Coppelius, but not, like, at what point did she know everyone's names? Like, at what point did she remember, like, playing, you know, bad soccer in the MTV Beach House? Like, it's weird. Like, but, like, the thematic stuff works really well in the finale. The face-off between the Romulans, the Federation, and the synthetics, like it does work really, really well. Picard's inspirational speech hits all the thematic points really well, and it's Picard at his best. And when Girardi is, like, looking at him like, oh, snap, this is the real deal. I'm right here. I'm front row watching Picard this thing. This is cool. And I'm like, this is about right. This is the big sports event for Picard's show, you know? It's he's here, he's doing his thing, and he's being the best. And I think that worked really well. So I'm very happy with it overall.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with it overall, too. I guess, you know, like, going into this week, I was like, we'll see what they do with the last episode. But could this be the best season of Star Trek? And
sure, yeah.
It could be, but I don't think it is. I mean, you look back at, like, season 7 of Deep Space Nine. That was pretty amazing stuff, right?
There are some episodes that feel a little
not necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have 26. But, I mean, if you think about it, though, like, the last 10 episodes compared to...
You know what they could have done with 26 episodes on Picard? Vineyard Admin.
They could have done that. They could have done Elnor Meets a Cat.
Yeah.
Could have done all sorts of stuff. I don't know. I mean, I think that it's certainly up there in terms of Star Trek seasons, right? I mean, maybe Deep Space Nine season 7 is the best. I really like Discovery season 1, and, you know, this is up there too. Next Gen season 6, you know, but yeah, it's up there. So, yeah, Michael Chabon. Thanks, Michael Chabon. You know, he's leaving, but leaving the series in good hands, it sounds like. Terry Metalis coming home.
Yeah. Watch them monkeys. You got to watch those monkeys.
Yeah. It's a good show, huh? That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
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 Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And, you know, It looks like we're going to be seeing Discovery next and then Lower Decks. I can't wait for Lower Decks. That's going to be the best. That's going to be my Star Trek. I just know it. But anyway, in the meantime, we'd love to hear your thoughts on Picard. And the best place to do that is in the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at TrekFM, and you can send us an email using the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and choose the line. Max, where can people find you since they won't be able to find you here?
JMax Hagel on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me at Mumbles3K on Twitter and Letterboxd. And you can also find me along with you on filmdamagepod.com, where we do a show called Film Damage. We're probably going to be able to do some more of those now that we're not doing this. You can also find me on Talk Film Society. There's a new podcast, which we did a little while ago, which is going to be available to the public. There's a few episodes out already. It's called Bayhem, and we look at every Michael Bay movie, including Six Underground and the Bayhem Bros, as we call ourselves, are going to have another podcast coming up sometime in the future, which will be of particular interest to Star Trek fans. So look for that as well over on TalkFilmSociety.com. We'd also like to thank our associate producer, Norman C. Lau. Thank you very much for your support. If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows going and even become an associate producer, visit patreon.com/trekfm for all the details. All right, Max. That's it. Who knows where we're going to go from here? Who knows when? Who knows where? But it's been fun. And
I'm hoping that at some point Discovery and Picard and Section 31 and Lower Decks all have an Avengers-style crossover.
Oh, yeah, there's a website where all they do is post like completely unsubstantiated rumors and say that they have sources that have said this thing. And they say that that's happening. So, yeah, we can look for that in the near future.
Really?
Yeah.
And Lower Decks?
They literally all they do is post stupid rumors like this. Like, apparently, you know, sources say, the same sources which said this rumor, which turns out, I mean, it's crazy. Like, there's
Seth
websites.
Seth MacFarlane is going to buy Star Trek and make it fit into Family Guy continuity.
Right. I mean, like, there are literally, like, they post so many rumors on a daily basis that they basically end up predicting all the news because they literally predict everything. But when you look at their track record, they get like 10% of things right because they're just guessing. But they say it's happening, so I'm sure it's going to happen.
Well, I mean, like Section 31, I don't know what that's going to be about, but Discovery Season 2 and Picard were pretty heavily about artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the potential destruction of all life as a result of that artificial intelligence. So they've at least got a through line.
You never know what could happen. You just don't.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been fun. Thanks for joining us. Looking forward to new Star Trek, but it's nice to have a little bit of a break, you know? I'm looking forward to not watching a whole lot of Star Trek in the near future, so.
Not me. It's frustrating.
Okay. Well, you know, these things happen. So, until next time, whenever that may be, the line must be drawn where?
To indicate where Elnor can see a cat. Like, just point him in the right direction. He was right there.